Hi, good evening. I'm Julie. I'm really grateful to be here, grateful member of Al-Anon, and I'm a little nervous, but I know that my higher power is with me tonight and all of you who bring so much light and love to my life. I'm going to start out talking about my childhood, and I grew up in Buffalo, New York. Anybody from New York? Yay! And I actually had a really beautiful childhood. I'm super grateful for my parents. I did not have active alcoholism in my household. And the little that I knew about alcoholism was stories that my grandmother would tell me about my grandfather, who died way before I was born. One of the stories that she told, or we laughed about it as a child, and now I have a different perspective on that story, but she was like our family storyteller, and Irish, and just a lot of fun. And she told this story about how one night at dinner, her husband, my grandfather, liked to have spaghetti at dinner, and he always liked to have his newspaper on the side and his spaghetti and whatever drink he had. And she said one night he kept asking for where's my newspaper, and she says, "You got your damn newspaper." And she had taken the spaghetti, or she had taken the newspaper and cut up pieces of the newspaper and put it inside his spaghetti. And I, you know, as I got older, you know, I got to an Al-Anon, I had a different perspective on that story, because I found out later, you know, that he was an alcoholic. And, you know, he didn't die super young, but, you know, way, way before, you know, she did. She lived to be 103. And my theory is that, you know, she had a good life after that. That's my theory. So that was like a little bit of what I knew. But as a child, we laughed about that and we're like, oh, what a strong woman she was. But to do that, like, probably she had a lot of resentments and a lot of anger, you know. And my immediate family, my brother, I noticed that he had a drinking problem later in college. But it really, like, didn't affect, like, our family. Like I said, my friends were the ones that wanted to come over to my house. My parents believed in God. We went to church pretty much every Sunday. Couple times we lied about going to church. And I went to a private school. I went to Catholic schools. And, you know, I'm really grateful to them, because they gave us, you know, so much love. And actually, it's funny, because I don't go to church anymore, but I had to go to church every Sunday, and I know all these songs. And when I got to Al-Anon, I saw this prayer saying for us, and I was like, oh, this sounds like a song I used to sing in church, you know? So it's weird, like, now that I've been in Al-Anon for a while, all these songs are coming back to me from church, which is nice. And that's actually, I kind of was jealous of my parents, because they were really spiritual. Like, the only time I really felt spiritual was at dinner time, when we would pray before dinner. And I was like, yeah, I'm really grateful for this food, you know. But they had this spiritual connection that I didn't have, and I was kind of jealous. So I remember with my parents that, you know, the one time I did feel kind of spiritual was when I sang songs, you know. And so that was something positive I got out of, I think, going to church as a child. So I fast forward a little bit. I ended up coming out to California and broke up with my ex. He went back east, and I met a wonderful man, and who was my future husband, and he was from Mexico. And when I met him, he started telling me a little bit of his story. And one of the things that he mentioned was that he was a heroin addict. And when I started listening to the story, as I said, I didn't know a whole lot about addiction. So I thought, to me, in my eyes, he was a hero, because he didn't use heroin anymore. And I was like, I mean, that is heroic to me, you know. And I didn't know a thing about addiction. So he had been sober for a couple years, you know, and we started dating. Everything went really, really fast. And, you know, I started to hear more and more of his story, but I really didn't really understand that world, you know. We had two children together, and we had a lot of ups and downs. You know, we got married really fast. You know, there was a lot of money problems. Like, there was a lot of fighting, but, you know, we worked it out, you know. And we stuck together because that's what you do in your marriage, I guess, you know. That's what my parents did, even though they had problems too. But in my eyes, like, you know, divorce or separation wasn't really an option. Like, we were going to make this work, you know. So we had two children, you know, 1 year later, our daughter, and then we had a son 18 months after that. And I actually didn't get involved in Al-Anon until my daughter was 14. So she had some trauma that happened to her between 9 and 11. And she started drinking, like, probably around her freshman year. And she used other drugs. And she just came to a really dark place of depression with drug and alcohol use. And I knew that she was hurting on the inside. And she was hospitalized. And we spent money on different things. And we were just running around. I think, like, I was like a volunteer firefighter, just putting out the fires, you know. I didn't get paid. But it was hard to see her like that, you know. She was very young, and I think I just thought I had the solution, you know. I knew what she needed, and both of us tried to figure out, you know, how we could help her all the time. And she was still having fun, you know. She was having a good time. But she also had a very dark, you know, that depression too. So I call this, like, you know, we did the dance around the addiction, my husband and I. And we involved our younger son, which I'm doing living amends with that. But we would, like, you know, get him in the car and say, come on, we're going to go look for your sister, you know, and she'd be out there. And it was, like, not our place to do that. We did that. But that's just what – we didn't have any tools, you know. We didn't have a program. And he came along. And I remember at one point later he said, you know, I was worried about her for a long time. And he had a lot of anxiety. But he's like, at one point I was like, you know, he just kind of let it go. And he said, you know, I'm not worried anymore. Like, whatever. It was just – became so regular for us to include him, which is kind of weird because he was young. So I think we became so intertwined with her life that I put my own life aside. And the relationship with my son and my husband as well, you know, an attempt to cure her. I laugh because growing up in a Catholic household, you know, you're supposed to believe in God, you're supposed to follow all the rules. And also, like, I didn't really talk about, like, self-care a lot, like, and relationship with God, but I was taught growing up that you had to be good to everybody. Okay, so when I took the high school survey, you know, they didn't have internet yet, but we took a high school survey and said I was going to be a nun. So I was like, okay, well, I didn't become a nun, but, you know, I was always, like, the helper, do-gooder, you know. Anyway, by the grace of God, you know, I made it to Al-Anon, and I was desperate. You know, she went to a program, and I didn't really see a light, like, a lot, talk to other parents, but I ended up going to a lot of AA meetings with my daughter, and she was super young, and, you know, she did go to a bunch of meetings, and I was so scared to let her go to those meetings, so I had to go with her, you know, and she was 14, so I was really surprised when I walked into those rooms how nice all the people in AA were. And they weren't scary like how I imagined they would be. You know, they were going to hurt my daughter. They actually, you know, opened the door for me, and they were super nice. And this guy gently said to me after one meeting, he said, you know, my wife's a member of Al-Anon if you want to check out Al-Anon. And he said in a very loving way. And after that, I started going to meetings. So I am really, really grateful to AA. So that's kind of how I got here. Strength. So when I came to Al-Anon, I just remember going to first meetings. I cried a lot. I mean, I just needed that tissue box next to me. And I started to listen to other people. I think at first I was like, I can't really relate. My story's different. My daughter's different. My daughter's young. I tried to find a lot of differences in the stories. And then as I started to go to more meetings, I realized that we all had the same pain. It could be like a little slightly different story or maybe someone else, but we all were going through like the same pain and healing, trying to look for healing. And then when I was in those rooms, the meetings, I started to feel a little bit of hope, like a little door opening, and I didn't feel so desperate and crazy anymore. Because, you know, like you can give up sleep for your family members. I'm sure all of you know that. You know, you give up eating meals. You give up. I don't know what it was, like whatever her therapist said, I'll try it. You know, like giving her hand massage before she goes to bed, you know. And she was like in a pretty desperate situation. And I felt sorry for her, or I don't know what the word is. I felt a lot of empathy, but I still didn't really understand addiction. So thank goodness for Al-Anon and, you know, all of you who were in those rooms when I, you know, got there. So when I got to the room, it was just, I found out that it was time for me to like stop putting out the fires and try to take care of myself. I think even before my daughter's issues, I had this spiritual hole inside me, you know, like my parents were back east and I would always be like, my family's back east, but I really had a family here, you know. And so there was a lot of things that I was doing to myself, like for example, like not taking care of myself, maybe not exercising a lot, not, or occasionally going to the casino and thinking that if I buy this thing I'm gonna feel better. And it's like, you know, I even had this peace ring, you know, it was like, you know, all the little peace symbols on it. I was like, if I wear this peace ring, I'm not going to yell at anybody in my family when I have this peace ring on. You know how long that worked, like 10 minutes, you know. So it's like I was trying to find like different solutions to solve my problems, but none of them worked, you know. So Al-Anon like offered that like place to fill that spiritual hole that I felt. You know, it could be anything. I could be like, oh, we're going on vacation. Let's charge up the credit card, you know. And didn't have money for that. But I thought that that one thing, just like that one conversation I was going to have with my daughter about her addiction would change something. Like I was going to say that perfect thing, you know, or I was going to do that perfect weekend getaway for me to feel better. And I didn't. So Al-Anon was free, you know. Al-Anon offered like the steps, it offered the way. And even though it was really painful in the beginning, because it was a lot of like crying and just acceptance of what was going on in my household, it offered something that I didn't have before. So I guess in that time, I also started learning about what it was like to live with a dry alcoholic. And he really wasn't free of addiction. He started later, my husband, to smoke pot, and occasionally he drank. So he wasn't clean, you know, but he didn't go to a program, but he did do NA before I knew him. And so, you know, I just realized that I was deeply affected by my husband's former use and current use and by my daughter's. And growing up in a family where it wasn't active, I really didn't see it growing up. Of course, there are alcoholics. I'm Irish, you know, there's alcoholics in an Irish family. And you don't have to be Irish to have alcoholics, right? But definitely it's prevalent, you know? So I guess one of the things that I did in my marriage was I was passive aggressive towards my husband. And there was a lot of negative behaviors in our household. I responded with aggression, detachment, silent treatment, yelling, arguing, taking sides. And I was a big part of the problem because I put myself on a pedestal. I think I said to myself, I'm better than him because he used to do all these things and he had a horrible childhood. And I think one thing that I learned in Al-Anon, I learned a lot with my sponsor, who I'm really grateful for, is that I needed to be humble and come to the same place that he is. And it took me a long time to figure that out because I was like, I know better than he does because I'm not using drugs, or I didn't use drugs, or I grew up in a family that was pretty normal, you know. So it took me a while to figure out that we were equal, you know, that in God's eyes and in my higher power's eyes, that we were the same, you know. And then I could get off my little pedestal and my little preaching, you know, and try to see him in a different light, you know, and my daughter as well. So I guess the steps, working the steps, like, helps me to see how I contributed to the problem. So, I'm going to talk about hope and love now. So I found lots of relief in the meetings just to get things off my chest without someone trying to tell me what to do. I felt lots of love and support. I often like to imagine this, like, it's almost feeling like you have like this warm blanket being wrapped around you when you walk into a meeting, because there's just so much love in the room, you know, and people that really care about you, and they're not your family members, but they become like your family because it's just, I don't know, there's just something special about the meeting. It's that higher power. It's everything about the meeting, that the way it's run and everything, that makes you feel so good, you know. In every meeting, there was a little glimmer of light because I didn't feel alone in my desperation to fix everyone in my house, or just to go to bed thinking that overnight they would change into knights of shining armor and be the perfect children who kissed their mommy and daddy goodnight and wrote beautiful handmade birthday cards and Christmas cards that would make the earth shake, you know. I realized in the meetings that I wasn't the only person with a messed up family. Mine was cray cray, like many others. Even after I started going to meetings, I continued to feel sorry about my situation and do lots of comparing. I found that comparing has never done me much good. It usually leads to resentments and the pity party train. Rather, I have come to accept that I am deeply affected by alcoholism and drug addiction. It has affected my physical, emotional, sexual, and spiritual well-being. Sponsorship. So I'm really grateful for sponsorship and my sponsor because it's an important part of my recovery. I've been able to share things with her that I was really embarrassed to share at a meeting. And many times I get a reality check, not a mean one, but one that allows me to see my family and how my behavior can contribute to the chaos. My sponsor is like a cheering coach who says, you can do this and you are doing great. I needed and still need that encouragement consistently because it's like my higher power encouraging me. My finances. When I started working with my sponsor, who I'm happy to say, I started to take more careful look at my financial problems. And with loving detachment, I am able to make many financial decisions on my own to improve my budget. I no longer have to go to payday advance places to borrow money, and I had to be willing to be honest and stop the emotional spending. I actually have less stress about money because I think I couldn't really deal with my money problems until I could have more spiritual balance. So I think they kind of go hand in hand, you know. I mean, we all have money problems, and, you know, but it's like, I just needed to have that a place or feel like that spiritual comfort and that connection before I could deal with that problem. And it's just having an honest, being honest with myself. I want to talk a little bit about freedom. So freedom, I'm okay with time? Okay. So freedom to express what I want. Since beginning Al-Anon, I've made a commitment to exercise more because my daughter's addiction, each day I felt like I had to be ready to jump if I needed to. Now I feel like I can make my own schedule, I can go to the gym, and I don't have to like think about what are my other family members are doing first. Like, You know, before it was just like all about her, or all about other people in my family. So it's nice to be able to just say, oh, what do I want to do, you know, and have to make decisions that help me as a person be more healthy. If there's a retreat or special event, I no longer have to make excuses on why I need to go, but I just simply tell my family members that I'm going. For so long, I felt like I had to run every decision by them. Al-Anon has given me the courage to say what I want without worrying as much about the outcome. I believe that I didn't speak up for myself because I was afraid to make waves and I wanted to prevent fighting. This is a work in progress because I still find myself feeling that I am not worthy of doing certain things because I put others' needs first. Just talk a little bit about my hobbies, like the do's and don'ts. Yeah. I love the do's and don'ts because they remind me that my interests are important and they do not make me a selfish person. I enjoy doing ceramic art by myself and with friends, and I've been open to learning new crafts again. I didn't realize how creative I am and how much I love doing art. Since meditation is definitely a challenge for me, I have found art to be fairly close to meditation because it takes my mind off the crazy thoughts and I can focus on something else. It's my special time. I also love to travel and recently took a trip to Costa Rica with a very large group of students. And my daughter also went. What a gift that was to share that time with her and laugh so much and stand in awe at the wonders of nature in that country of so much beauty. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my relationship with my higher power. As I said earlier, I didn't have a close relationship with God growing up. I kind of just went through the rituals of praying, and I sang at church. I said lots of prayers, and I participated in, you know, baptism, confirmation, first communion, everything we're supposed to. And I felt, like I said, I felt pretty envious of my parents because I felt like when they prayed, like, it was like more meaningful. And in the program, I feel like I've developed more of a friendship with God and think my biggest challenge in this journey is turning over the care of my loved ones to Him. I think it's my job, right, as a mom, to, you know, take care and fix everything, or as a wife. And if I don't go to meetings, I probably will do that, you know. So I have to go to meetings, I have to meet with my sponsor, I have to practice my steps and traditions. Otherwise, I'm going to be trying to change them, even when they don't ask, you know. And the results usually are not what I want anyway. I do not receive an unemployment check for turning things over to God. But I do get peace. And the ability to be bored, which my sponsor says, bored equals peace and serenity. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got to remember that. So I guess I can say amen to being bored, right? In the last few months, challenge, one day at a time is always a challenge for me. I did recently have a revelation. I don't know if it's a spiritual awakening, maybe. I said, fortunately, I wasn't struck by lightning or a delicious fried bologna sandwich, but rather a bad habit that I had been doing for a while, and I realized it. So I'm happy. I would say things like, I'm happy, it's Friday, you know, or in 5 more hours, it's Friday, I'll almost be done working, or I'm happy because it's Wednesday, I'm over the hump, you know. And I just realized that I was robbing myself of those times. Like, that's not living one day at a time. That's like, oh, I'm going to be happy at this time when I go out with my friends, you know. So I just have to remember that one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, it's just helping to me for me to be present in the moment. I want to enjoy my job. I love my job. I like my students that I work with, you know. They bring lots of life to me, you know. they're like the epitome of one day at a time, because they're not like worried about, you know, money or whatever, you know, they're pretty young. And so I can learn from them, you know, that, you know, to seize the moment, you know. I guess, you know, Al-Anon's helping me to see the beauty of the moment, and then I have the abundance, the joy, and the laughter now. I don't have to wait for it or delay. It doesn't have to be delayed. It doesn't come at 4 o'clock when my workday is over. It comes when I have an awareness of my life in its fullest. For newcomers, if you are new to the program, welcome to these beautiful rooms. I challenge you to let the light of Al-Anon into your heart, because there is space for your healing here in these rooms. I am grateful for all who have shared your light and hope with me, or even a smile to welcome me in my journey in Al-Anon when I feel like shit inside and out. In closing, because of all of you, I've been able to get much joy back into my life and to see the glass half full, not poor me over here who no one is paying attention to. I have made friendships in this program that I cherish, and I have found a family who understands me and loves me unconditionally, far away from where my life began. There is no other place that I have found in this world that lets me know that I am important and that I matter. My remedies didn't work, not even my peace ring, my self-help books, therapy, the Tai Chi for you and me class, or even a dark cave to run away from all my crazy relatives. A place I have found is right here. Thank you.